There seems to be a growing acceptance of the gay lifestyle. A recent survey claims that 70% of the people, adults in the U.S., think that marriage between man and a man or woman and woman is okay. That lifestyle is fine. Even in the Church of our Lord, voices are being raised, are more numerous, asking for love and tolerance and acceptance of the gay lifestyle. A recent Christian Chronicle article told of a young lady who once was a dedicated Christian person who believed what the Bible taught about homosexuality. But through a deeper study of the scriptures, she came to believe that God would accept her lesbian relationship in godly love, allowing her to worship in full fellowship with the saints. From the beginning, God set forth what the proper relationship between man and woman should be. Genesis 2:24. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This arrangement for the sexes is repeated in the New Testament. In Matthew 19:4 through 6, Jesus is talking. Have you not read that he made them at the beginning, he made them male and female, and said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. This leaves no room for any other kind of sexual relationship between man and woman. Satan wants you to ignore Romans chapter 2, verses 24 through 27, which says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their hearts and lusted for one another. Men with men committing that which is shameful. 1 Corinthians 6:19 mentions those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Under the law of Moses, if two or more men were found in a sexual relationship, they were to be stoned to death. God hates sin. A recent newspaper headline said this: big crowds call for gay marriage in Switzerland. The article went on to say that referendums on legalization of gay marriages has been introduced in many European countries, including Germany, Austria, France, and the Netherlands. Can the U.S. be far behind? For a few minutes, let's look at the time frame in which we live, the Christian age. God still hates sin. Just as much now as he did in Moses' day. He expects his commands to be obeyed. It is sinful not to obey God. He's not going to punish us immediately and harshly like he did in Moses' day, and like he did Nadab and Abihu and Solomon and Gomorrah. We'll have to wait until Judgment Day to find what our punishment will be. That's why it's so important for us to be in the right relationship with God. And listen to what the scriptures say in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are they that enter in that way. For narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads unto life. And few there are that find it. Don't you think it would be wise to deny Satan the satisfaction of leading you down the broad way that leads to destruction, keeping you off the narrow way that leads to eternal life? It is true that some Bible scriptures are more difficult to interpret and understand than others. But the plan of salvation is plainly set forth. Consider these verses. Believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Acts 16:31. Confess faith in Christ, Matthew 10:32 and 33. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3 and 5. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Many of the religious people that I've known in my lifetime believe in God. And they consider Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And have no trouble believing, repenting, and confessing. But have a major problem with scriptural baptism for the remission of their sins. In the book of Acts, we find 8 instances of people being saved, adult people. And in every case, the subjects were completely immersed in water for the remission of their sins. In Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter is preaching the first gospel sermon to the Jews who had committed the most grievous, the most terrible crime of all time. They were responsible for the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus had come to the earth to save these people. And they hung him on the cross. And what did Peter tell them? After they showed remorse for what they'd done. And Peter said unto them, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 did what Jesus, what Peter asked them to do on that day. We are saved by the blood of Christ when we're baptized into him, into his death. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, Are you ignorant that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him, therefore, through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Many scholars of the Bible believe that the word in Greek for baptism should have been translated, instead of baptism, should have been translated immersed, which is what it really means. If, as the Bible plainly teaches, it takes scriptural baptism to remove sins, then how can one be in the right relationship with God and Christ without being baptized for the remission of their sins? I call your attention to one more Bible verse. Jesus himself said this in Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The devil, Satan, would like for you to read the verse this way. He that believes, just like he did Eve, he that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. Adding one little word. I know not what you believe this morning. I may have said some things you haven't heard before. I've simply tried to tell you what the Bible plainly teaches. I know not what's in your heart, but if you're not on that narrow road that leads to heaven, we'd like to help you get there. If you'd like to find the way, come to the front as we stand and sing our invitation song.